May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The first scripture lesson of the morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. Each one of our Gospels is quite unique, of course. Matthew is apparently writing to a Jewish community. And he makes clear to us, from his reading at least, that this is a Passover meal that Jesus is celebrating with his disciples. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Oh, surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." But he replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession and assurance. God of solidarity, you invite us to view the suffering of the world as if it was you whom we see suffering.
We confess that we often turn away from suffering that makes us uneasy or uncomfortable.
God of truth, you invite us to be bold in speaking truth to power, and to be humble when given positions of power.
We confess that we are often afraid to speak the truth of injustice in places where such talk is not welcome, and that our pride can make us fearful of losing social capital.
God of love, through the ministry of your Son, Jesus, you revealed to us what perfected love looks like.
Strengthen our will to fight against unjust suffering, even at the expense of our comfort. Give us the courage to bear the cost of discipleship, so that we might speak the truth in the face of unjust system. Help us to love as you show us how to love.
Family of faith, hear and believe this good news. We believe in a God who walks headfirst into the world's suffering, who lights a candle in the darkest night, who pulls back the curtain so that we can see the stars. We believe in a God who does not shy away from the truth, who is bold in seeking justice and humble in taking power. We believe in a God who sees our hurt and wraps love around it, cocooning us in hope, tethering us to one another. We believe in a God who is always carrying us from the pain of the world into the hope of a new day. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed each of us in our mother's womb. It is within you that we live and move and have our being. You breathe your spirit in us, this breath of life that always animates us, so that we would know that your presence is always with us. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus the Christ, whom you lovingly sent to dwell among us. For it is in his life and actions that you reveal to us how we are called to live. And in the sharing of his final meal of bread and wine, he revealed to us how we are one body, one church, redeemed by love and through compassion. It is within this covenant meal that we learn our story, the story of Christ's redeeming acts of grace. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus and his disciples gathered themselves in the upper room to celebrate Passover with a meal. The Passover meal was an annual ritual that the Jewish community celebrated so that they might remember who they are and whose they are. They used this meal to tell the story of the liberation of their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. You see, for hundreds of years, Jesus' ancestors had toiled as slaves under the Egyptian Empire. But in the midst of their toiling, they began to cry out to God. And eventually, God heard them. God heard their cry and delivered them from bondage. They told this story every year so that they might never forget where they come from, and so they might never forget what their community had been through, so they would never forget to love as God has loved them. They told this story from generation to generation, from Moses onward. They wanted to make sure that not only would they be able to tell the story, but that in so doing they could place themselves in the story so they could see themselves as a part of this ongoing redemptive process. Similarly, my friends, we are called to place ourselves in the story of salvation and redemption as participants, not just as spectators. We are called to remember all that we have been through that has gotten us here today. Perhaps the woundedness that we've experienced from being excluded from positions because of what we look like or our political beliefs. Perhaps the ways in which we've been told that we aren't Christian because of our ways in which we accept all people for who they are. Perhaps we've been marginalized for some aspect of our identity and we weren't able to be our full, authentic selves. We carry these wounds, these traumas with us. And so we remember them and we bring them to this place. And we know that in this place we have experienced a healing. We have experienced a wholeness. We have journeyed through Lent with Jesus and moved to this place of understanding that is pointing us towards hope. We do this so that we can say that God has also heard our cry. We can say that God has also led us out of bondage from harmful theologies and traumatic relationships and difficult circumstances. Indeed, God has helped us make a way out of no way. And so on this Palm Sunday, we are called to remember the loneliness and grief that can accompany us when we speak out against injustice as Jesus does during his final week of life. And yet, in the midst of this grief, we are reminded that we dwell in God. We are reminded that we sit amongst friends, that we live in community. We live in a community where love is the foundation. We live in a community where compassion is the orientation that informs all that we say and all that we do. This is our story. This is our story. And so we tell this story so that we can live into it. We tell this story so that everyone knows that is in this space that, yes, today you can feel as though you belong. We tell this story so that when we are confronted with our own insecurities that might inhibit the development of our own faith community, we can remember who we are and whose we are. And in so doing, we create a place of worship where all people know and feel that they belong, that they are welcome at this table. So during this meal, this Passover celebration, Jesus gave thanks to God. He broke bread and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat." He said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In so doing, in the sharing of the cup, it becomes a symbol of a new covenant that all people can take a part of. All people would be welcome to join and participate in this new covenant. This is such a radical concept. Jesus and his disciples lived in an era of firm boundaries that were placed between men and women, that were placed between Jews and Gentiles, boundaries that were placed between even those who were healthy and those who were seen as disabled or sick or unclean. There were boundaries that were supposed to mark who you could be in community with. And yet throughout his ministry, Jesus challenges and dismantles these boundaries. Through this Lenten journey, we've seen time and again Jesus dismantle these boundaries that are upheld to maintain power and privilege of one person over another. Through his encounter with the Samaritan woman, his healing of a blind man, his working on the Sabbath, his story of table fellowship, Jesus demonstrates that all people, and especially those whom society has shunned, are just as worthy of God's love as anyone else. Jesus demolishes all boundary expectations we have been taught to uphold. So in the very act of nourishing our bodies with the bread of life and quenching our thirst for love with the cup of salvation, we are made new in Christ. We are empowered to surrender position and privilege, power and wealth, to abolish any idea that we have somehow that we are more valuable than someone else based on our race, our gender, our class, our sexual orientation, our ability, or our citizenship. We see ourselves as one. With his proclamation that we are called to love all of our neighbors as we love ourselves, we are moved to resist this kind of supremacist thinking because we recognize that if someone isn't allowed at this table, that if someone's particular expression of their humanness, if they feel like as though they must obscure who they are and they cannot be the full expression of who they are, then we collectively are not transformed in Christ. We are not faithfully engaging in table fellowship if anyone feels excluded from this space. We are called to embody the love of Jesus as demonstrated throughout his ministry. This is a love that is capable of taking us all in and preserving our authentic identities while also pulling us toward a common understanding of humanness rooted in justice and compassion. The cup of salvation represents our delivery from the bondage of individualism and selfishness. Salvation is a communal event, and in taking this cup, we are reminded that our liberation is interconnected, that none of us are free until all of us are free. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church through all creation. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are at home, we invite you to receive communion now. If you are here in a sanctuary, we invite you to come forward and receive communion at the direction of the ushers. You may pick up an individually packaged communion element, I think. And then we also have gluten-free crackers. You don't want anybody to feel left out. There's enough of the bread of life to go around for everybody. And for those of you who feel comfortable, we'll break the bread and you're invited to dip the bread into the chalice and receive Christ's blessing this way. All are welcome at Christ's table, and so we invite you to receive these signs of grace.
We have another scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew that takes us further into the story of that Holy Thursday. It takes place after Jesus shared a meal with the disciples. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on the sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our scripture stories of this Holy Week are so rich with detail, with heart-searing accounts of this moment in the life of Jesus as he turns from the acclaim of Palm Sunday toward the reality of suffering and death that comes on Good Friday. We read it knowing the hope of Easter still stands, but we read it with hearts heavy with the reality of the pain. In this story that I just read from Matthew's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples to stay awake with him. And I hear the invitation to be people who stay attentive, who keep in our sight the reality of the suffering of our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies here in this world. Dr. Carter described the depth of God's love for us. We tasted it in the sacrament of Holy Communion, but here as the story continues, we remember how we will fall short of what God asks for us. The ways we'll fail to speak up or to speak out, to show up, to forgive ourselves or others. We won't stay awake like those disciples with Jesus there in the garden. But none of this changes the depth and power and reality of God's love. God's self-giving, world-changing love persists whatever we do. And so we read the story as people who know that we're not going to get it all right. But we read it again this year as an invitation to be people who do our part to try a little harder, to hold each other a little more accountable, to encourage one another a little more deeply, to do the work of staying awake, of holding the pain and grief of this world, of persisting in speaking up and speaking out, of showing up and offering grace for the sake of compassion and love and justice. Our news is full of stories that remind us of how much pain and suffering and injustice there is in this world. We grieve the deaths of at least 39 migrants who died in detention just across the border. It reveals to us in human form the brokenness of our systems of immigration, the reality of insecurity around our globe, the necessity to find a better way that honors the fullness and dignity of human life. We have the courage to do this because we know God will go with us. God's love will be there for us no matter what. So we hear the invitation again, could you not stay awake with me? We know that we're not going to get it all right, but we try. And we let ourselves be drawn a little more closely to the heart of God, to the pain of one another, to the needs of our world, that we might be a part of the work of embodying life-changing, world-changing love for the sake of all God's creation. May it be so. Amen.